Tonight I'm going to start in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17, and I'm sure many of you can probably quote this. And that's okay, you should look it up anyway, because whether you can quote it or not, I always like to look it up in my Bible. And it's easy if you have a, if you have a normal Bible, it's probably pretty easy to find. If you have a digital Bible, it's Romans 10, 17. All right, so Romans 10, 17 says this: so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Of course, my grandfather would always say it this way: so faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says, you know, the Greek word there says basically a constant, continuous action. So you're hearing over and over and over again. Now, I was thinking about my life. It's interesting growing up, and you know, the way we grew up. I'm traveling a lot with my grandfather than my father, but I mean, I don't know how many times that I would hear a message, you know, and then the next day hear the same message and the same scriptures. I mean, over and over and over and over and over again, he would preach on the message of faith. And obviously, it's pretty important because it's on top of our building here. You know, I mean, we have the Faith Shield, which is our logo. Everyone knows that the Faith Shield is our ministry logo, and we have it on everything from golf balls to sanitizer which is big now. It was big. We had it on sanitizer before it was a big thing, but now it's a big thing. It's not as big anymore because CDC says it's not as big anymore, so whatever. But we have it on umbrellas and everything, you know, because we believe that, well, not just we believe, that obviously Brother Hagin, 1950, got the mandate to go teach my people faith. And that's what he did, you know, from the day that he walked off the deathbed until the day he passed away, he spoke on faith, primarily more than any other subject. And so, I was, in this term at school, I teach Faith Library too, where we talk about faith. And I actually read the scripture the other day, and it just really hit me. I don't know the last time I preached on faith. I mean, I have done it this year, I'm sure, but you know, this is one of the rehearing messages. You know, because in order to hear over and over again, we have to rehear at some point in time. And sometimes we need to rehear more often than not. And see, the time to build up your faith is not whenever you need your faith. The time to build it up is whenever things are going awesome. You know, when things are going great, we should build our faith up. You know, and our faith should be so built up that when things start going bad, that we have it already on the inside. We already know the word. Now, hopefully that many of you can already quote the scripture that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But you know what? It doesn't matter whether you know that scripture. And what matters is, are you doing that scripture? See, a lot of people know scriptures, and that's why I always pray that we'll be a doer of God's word. You know, it's one thing to quote something, another thing to actually do what it says. And in order to hear the word of faith, then we have to continue to hear the word of faith. Now, one thing that we do need to add here is obviously is context, because this is Romans, right? I mean, it was written to the church at Rome. Do you realize that the church at Rome might only had one book? They may only had Romans. You know, they probably didn't have Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and all that. Maybe they had the Gospels. I don't know. But you know what? Even if they had other books, only the church had the book. Because the book wasn't in a digital format where they can carry around in their hand. That book was on like scrolls. All right? And scrolls are think about the biggest book you can think about, you know, it's like, you know, this thick or whatever. And that didn't even make a dent to what these scrolls were. I mean, someone actually said you would almost have to carry a scroll out in like a wheelbarrow or something like that, you know. So then imagine actually finding, okay, here you have Mr. Scroll. Hey, find Mark 11 there in your scroll. Hang on for a minute. I mean, you know, well, maybe they had multiple scrolls. I don't know how they did it. I wasn't alive back then. I don't know if you were or not. They didn't have Google back then, so even if you Google how did they read the Bible in the New Testament, no one's trying to figure that out. But my point is that the only way for them to hear the word is for someone to preach the word to them. All right? Because You know, and imagine preaching back then. I know many of you don't think about this, but do you realize that the person coming up preaching couldn't say, hey, turn your Bibles to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter whatever, or turn your Bibles because we didn't have those. Now, maybe they could have gone to the Old Testament, but they didn't have Bibles because they had scrolls. And so, you know, so you just had to speak. All right, but we have a whole different thing. We actually have scriptures. And so one way that we can actually hear is we can actually read the word. And so, you know, you could say faith comes by reading and reading by the word of God, because reading the word is how we also build our faith. And in fact, a lot of times, has anyone ever read a book and then seen the movie that came out a few years later and like, that movie wasn't like the book? And sometimes, see, there'll actually, a movie comes out and say, this movie was adapted from a book. Well, adapted from and being like the book sometimes is two different things or whatever. But you know, it's important that we know the word. My grandfather says the number one reason why people do not get healed or don't get their needs met is they don't know the word. If you don't know the word, then you can't act on the word. You can't be a doer of the word. But faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word. Now, it doesn't come by having heard the word. You know, because many people, I've even, you know, probably done it myself, but we've all been there and been in a mess, you know, listening to the minister preach, oh, I know that. I'm gonna check out Facebook, or, you know, I'm going to figure out where I can go eat after church, you know, because, you know, that's one of the biggest things, especially Sunday morning. That's one of the biggest things that people do is during your Sunday morning service, you have to figure out where you're going to go eat. Make sure you beat the Baptist, you know, before, you know. Right? Good thing about people not having church is there's less people going to eat. You know, bad part about it is that some of these churches are, I mean, some of these restaurants are socially distanced, and so there's like eight tables out there, and you're looking at them like, you can't sit on one of those tables. Well, why not? Because we don't want you to get your snot on anybody. And so it's like, you know, so I don't know. So hopefully that's going to change soon, because, you know, I'm just tired of everything, to be honest with you. But faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So we're going to rehear a couple of scriptures. Well, it's really hard to rehear something if you don't really know what faith is. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse number 1, because this scripture tells us what faith is. It says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. See, I want to have now faith. I don't want to have later faith. All right? I want to have faith in the now. See, when faith comes in, you know, you have it now. Many people say, well, yeah, I'm going to have it when I get it or when I see it. No, that's Thomas' faith. Now, you know, Thomas was the one who said, well, when I put my finger in his hands, when I feel the nail, when I feel the spear, you know, thing, that's when I believe it was Jesus. No, you have to believe, if you really have something by faith, is you have it when you pray. Now, you realize, it is interesting how when somebody comes to the altar and gets saved, most people don't doubt their saving faith. Do you realize that? In fact, I mean, I found out people can come to the altar and get saved, and a week later, you call them on the phone, and you think they're still saved. But I found out when people come to get healed, people call them a week later and say, well, are you healed? Well, of course I'm healed, because the Bible says so. Yeah, but I don't see it. Well, did you see Jesus fly into that guy's heart when he was down here up front? Did you see that happening? No, they didn't see it. Yeah, but I believe that happened. Well, then why don't you believe that Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back and by his stripes you were healed? Why don't you believe that? Well, I didn't see it. Well, you didn't see Jesus fly into that guy's heart either. Yeah, but that's different. No, it's not. It's the same faith. The same faith that saves you is the same faith that heals you, the same faith that sets you free. It's the same faith. All right? You know, and so I don't know why people have, you know, faith for salvation, but they don't have faith for healing. Why not? What's the difference? Do you realize faith is faith? The definition of faith is the same whether it's salvation faith or healing faith or financial faith. You know, there's not different levels of faith. I mean, you would think that there's levels of faith because, I mean, I've heard a few people that doubt whether the person's saved, but it's not based upon them coming to the altar. It's based upon the way they acted, you know, 20 years later. Because you realize that a person who comes and just gets saved, maybe Christian, you don't expect them to act too much different because they just got saved. 20 years from then, you expect them to act a little bit different because they've been saved a long time. But some people are still babies 20 years later. I mean, I don't know how it is, but maybe it's the same reason that you still like toys. You know, I mean, I know people that are addicted to video games and they're 50 years old. You know, I guess they didn't grow up. They were a Toys R Us kid all their life. So, whatever. I decided to like to sleep, so I quit playing video games. Anyway, long story. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, you know, evidence is a word that we probably know more than we've ever known it before, thanks to TV shows like CSI. I remember the very first CSI, you might want to call it CSI Las Vegas now because there's been so many CSIs. CSI's Moscow, I think, is coming out now. I'm just kidding. I'm just making it up. You know, there's CSI Miami, CSI New Orleans, and who knows. But the original CSI, and I remember the guy, I think his name was Grissom. I think that was his name. Anyone watch CSI ever? You know, I know some of you too spiritual. You don't watch TV. All right. But CSI is where they come in and they do crime scene investigations. If you don't know anything about CSI, so maybe I should describe the thing. And so one thing that Grissom would tell his disciples, if you want to call them that, I mean, you know, his people who work with him, he goes, guys, you have to follow the evidence. Because let the evidence, you know, solve the crime itself. I mean, you follow the evidence and we're real big about evidence. Everyone needs to have evidence. And, you know, obviously without evidence, you can't convict anybody or whatever. But it's the same thing when it comes to our faith. We want to see the evidence. Now, usually what we think of the evidence is actually having what we're believing for. That's what we think. That's what our natural evidence is, because the evidence has to be something. But according to this scripture right here, it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our evidence is not seen. See, our evidence is our faith. Our faith is our evidence. You said, but I don't see it. Well, then you got it, because you're not going to see it. So here's what I tell people. If you are really good as a child, if you had imaginary friends, if you're really good with your imagination, depending on what generation you grew up, if you grew up in my generation, you know, you watched Mr. Rogers, learned your imagination on that, maybe Electric Company. If you grew up in a little bit later generation, my kids' generation, then you saw Barney the Purple Dinosaur. And he actually even had a song about imagination. I could sing it, but I'm not going to, you know. But I've watched the episode where Barney sung Imagination. I don't know what kids nowadays watch, or they probably don't, something on YouTube. But anyway, imagination is kind of important for a kid. And so a lot of these kids, they can imagine all these things. I mean, they can imagine the, you know. So if you're good with imagination, then you can be good with faith. Because what faith is you got to imagine that you have something when you don't really have it, but you have it by faith. It's just that simple. You say, but I don't really have it. Yes, you do. Now faith is. See, when faith comes in, doubt goes out. See, you either believe or you don't believe. To put it in Shakespearean language, to believe or not to believe? That is the question. You either believe or not, because, you know, either you have faith or you have doubt. You don't have both. Now, sometimes what happens is you have faith and fear comes in and fear brings doubt. And that's just what happens. But when faith comes in, faith is now. And here's what happens. Usually whenever people pray, they get the now faith that comes in. And then the later doubt comes in later. So you usually right immediately, or maybe for maybe you have a window over a few days, you really believe, and all of a sudden doubt comes in. What really comes in is the devil. Now I didn't say your roommate, it said the devil. I didn't say your mom or dad, it said the devil. Okay, because sometimes it happens to be some of our family members, some of our friends, like, well, did you really get it? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, that's not faith. Now, the thing that really helped me the best in the world was reading the dictionary. Anyone ever read the dictionary? I don't mean the whole dictionary, okay? It's not like the Bible. If you read the whole dictionary, you're smarter than I am. Okay, but about, I don't know, 12, 13 years when I was in the ministry, you know, one day I was going to minister on the subject of faith, and it hit me one day that I've never looked up the word faith in the dictionary. And so I'm thinking, I looked up a lot of words in the dictionary because, you know, this is pre-Google. When you didn't have Google, I mean, I carried a dictionary about this size. I got it when I showed up at Oklahoma State University. I walked into the student union. There was this really nice lady that I think it was Citibank that she worked for. It probably was a student that actually worked for Citibank. But now she was a little older. She probably wasn't a student. If she was a student, she was an old student. Anyway, so she's like, hey, you want to apply for a credit card? I'm like, I don't really have much credit. I don't know if I'm going to get a credit card. She says, doesn't matter whether you get the credit card or not. We're going to give you this little handy-dandy thing that had a dictionary, had a thesaurus, which is, you know, and it had another little book there, three books, a little handy-dandy thing. We're going to give you this whether you get the credit card or not. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I got the credit card. Didn't help. Anyway, but so I got these things, and so I had this dictionary, you know, little pocket. It was Webster's New World Dictionary, 7th edition. And so when I started ministering, this is Craig's, you know, preaching stuff. All right, I got some notes, whatever notes I had, and then I had a Strong's Concordance. You know, the paperback one, not the hardback one. And I had my dictionary. And that's what I used to study with. You know, that's what I had. I put it in my briefcase. So I always had my dictionary with me, and I looked up all kinds of words I'd look up. Now, whenever someone says a word, I Google it. You know, but then I... So one day, it just hit me. I've never looked up the word faith in the dictionary. Never. So I looked up the word faith in Webster's New World Dictionary, 7th edition. And the first definition was something like, you know, trust in a higher power, primarily God. Well, okay, good. But the second definition is what really helped me. I mean, the first definition was kind of like, okay, I get it. You know, second definition was an unquestioning belief. An unquestioning belief. Now, the reason I got it, because then I started thinking about in my own mind, how many times have people said, well, I'm in faith, but then they asked the Lord, God, why have I not got this answered yet? And then it hit me that why is a question? And then people say, well, God, how is this going to work? How's the question? God, when is this going to happen? When's the question? You know, they'll ask how come. I mean, there's so many times that people think they're in faith and they're questioning. So according to the dictionary, you're not in faith. Anytime you question, you're not in faith. So you don't have now faith, you have no faith. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because when you are standing in faith for something, the devil's going to, like, knock you on the head. Actually, can you hear that? I can hear that. You know, no. To knock you on the head, and he's going to tell you something like, hey, it's not working for you. And then you're going to want a question to God. You're going to ask God, God, you know, when is this going to happen? Well, obviously that's a question, so that's not faith. Now, here's what needs to happen. Whenever you, even if you get those words out, when is this going to happen? As soon as you get those words out, you need to remember Craig's dictionary. And as soon as you get those words out, you need to be saying, that's not faith. When is not faith? God, I'm sorry. I'm going to stand in faith. You know what? I believe. You know, understand, especially when it comes to healing, do you realize that we're not going to get our healing? We've already been healed. A lot of people said they're going to get, see, going to get is the future. All right? Faith is now, hope is in the future. We're not a hoping and a praying. Hoping and praying is not faith. There's a lot of people who are hoping and praying. You're not wishing. We're not wishing things are going to happen. There's a lot of Christians that are wishing things are going to happen, and they think they're in faith, but they're over and wishing things are going to happen. Now, we have had people come back to the book table on the road sometimes, and guys, I remember one time specifically, I remember this happened. I know right where it happened. We were in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and right next to University of Pennsylvania. In fact, University of Pennsylvania actually owns the hotel we stayed at. It was Hilton Hotel when we stayed there. And we're at a convention center right there by the University of Pennsylvania. And this guy came back to the book table. And I believe he was either in the wheelchair or he had crutches, can't remember. But he came back to the book table. He was so excited. And he goes, "I can't believe I got healed." So obviously it wasn't on his faith. All right. And then, but we've had other people come back to the book table and say, "Brother, did you get healed tonight?" "Well, I sure hope so." Well, that's not faith. You know, and the reason I'm telling you that, because there's so many times that we speak and we're speaking doubt, we're not speaking faith. We're speaking unbelief, we're not speaking faith. You know, and we need to be speaking faith. And if you need to speak more faith, you need to get a hold of more faith scriptures. Get, you know, faith for whatever you need. Is it healing? Is it finance? Whatever it might be. And you need to think only faith things. Because if you believe that it's come to pass, if you're having now faith, then you're never going to doubt it, because doubt is not faith. To ask a question is not faith. Faith is an unquestioning belief. Unquestioning. Unquestioning. There's no doubt whether it's going to work or not going to work. Here's the thing. Is that God shall supply all our needs. My God shall supply all my need according to the riches and the glory by Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. He shall provide. Now, you have to believe, I mean, most people believe he's able, but we got to believe he's willing. Of course he's willing. Do you realize how much that Jesus had to go through just for God to provide for all your needs? I thank God I'm not an Old Testament Christian. Do you realize in the Old Testament, you know, we would, every other day, we'd be slaughtering some kind of animal, especially if you weren't really good. You know, if you had lied quite a bit or whatever, you'd be slaughtering this animal, slaughtering that animal, you know, to make redemption. Praise God that Jesus came and redeemed us. I mean, if you didn't know it beforehand, you should have learned it on Easter. I know you're probably too busy worrying about the bunnies and things like that. But I mean, you know, the meaning of Easter is so important. And in fact, you know, you realize Easter is the day that Jesus arose. All right? And you realize if he would have never arose, it didn't matter whether he was born. It didn't even matter whether he died. Because his resurrection is what made it all possible. It was a culmination of everything that Jesus came for. You know, and you know, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10, we read it all the time. You know, and I know he wants me to have a good life, and I believe that. So I know he's willing. So what do I need to do? All I need to do is believe. Don't have a whole lot of time to go through our next scripture. Well, let's go ahead and we'll read Mark 11. Really quickly, you know, we got a whole 5 minutes here, you know, 5 minutes of faith. Mark chapter 11, I'm going to focus on 22 because that's my favorite scripture. Says, "So then Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God." Now, the reason I like to point 22 out the biggest is because a lot of times people focus in on Mark 11, 23 and 24, talks about speaking to your mountain, talks about saying with your mouth, talks about believing in your heart. But if your faith isn't in God, everything else you do after that is not going to matter. See, my faith is that God is going to take care of my need, not that somebody else is going to take care of my need. Not that I'm going to speak my, you know, yes, I'm going to do the speaking, but God's the one that's taking care of it. Now, a lot of times when people speak to their mountain, what they're doing is they're speaking to their mountain, and then they're telling God later on, well, God, if you'll do this and this and this, then my mountain will move. No, it's not about you. It's about God. Have faith in God. And so, you know, like I said, some people translate, there's a translation of that, have the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith, I asked the Lord one time, what's the God kind of faith? Because I didn't really know. I'm like, how do I describe the God kind of faith? And he took me back to the beginning. You know, not literally back to the beginning, but in my Bible, back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, and the earth was null and void. Wasn't very good, was it? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, you know, we think that's awesome. All right, give God a hand, give him a hand and clap. You know, do you realize when God said, let there be light, the sun turned on? I mean, not an ordinary light. It wasn't like clap on, you know, his lamp turned on. The sun started. Do you realize if we didn't have the sun, that, you know, even when it's 0 degrees in the wintertime, if the sun wasn't there, it wouldn't be 0 degrees. It wouldn't be that warm. I mean, it's incredible that the sun happened. Why did the sun happen? Because God said it with his mouth, God believed in his heart, and God had what he said. Now, if I'm going to listen to a TV preacher speak in today's language, I would believe it should happen this way. This is a God kind of faith. God said, let there be light. And then he went on a 40-day fast. For 40 days and for 40 nights, he began to fast and pray. And all kinds of things went on for the 40 days. And on the 40th day, the light came on. Nothing wrong with fasting and praying, or praying fast. It doesn't matter. The point is that God just spoke. And it happened. Or another TV preacher might get on there and say this. God said, let there be light. Then after he gave a $1,000 faith vow to himself and then paid off that faith vow, the light finally came on. So if you'll give $1,000 today, your son will get saved. Now, I'm not saying that. I've heard TV preachers say that. This isn't why I don't listen to TV preachers. I'm just going to be honest. You know, said, well, Craig, are you against preachers? No, I'm against people who don't know how to, the word of God. Because God spoke in there and it happened. And he's saying the same thing. You can do just what I did. You can speak and things can happen. Things can change. And it's not because you're special. Now, I don't care. There's another song Barney sung about you are special, special, special in every way. Things like that. But it's not because you're special. It's because God is good. You know, I know we say God is good all the time God is good, but he really is. It's not just a statement. I mean, just like God created the sun, you know, for us, I mean, you know, that's a miracle. If he didn't create the sun, we'd be still living in null and voidness. That wouldn't be cool. You know, I know a lot of things happen between the null and voidness and you here in 2021, you know, but, you know, just like God spoke then, you can speak today. That's whenever Jesus said, so you can do just like God did, and you can speak to your mountain. We're going to go ahead and read that. We got 1 minute. We only have actually 20 seconds. But for assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I just want to let you know in my last few seconds, is that verse whoever, or King James says whosoever, I want you to know it says that whoever says to whatever mountain you have to move, that whenever you speak like God speaks. And you know what? You have the authority and you have the right and the privilege to speak to whatever mountains in front of you, whether it be a physical mountain, a financial mountain, an emotional mountain, a spiritual mountain, whatever it might be. And when you speak, you can put your faith in the Almighty God. And God will cause your mountain to move if you'll stay strong in faith, believing. Because why not believe? To believe or not to believe? That's the question. It was a real short faith message. You know, God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father, I know this was a quick message on faith, but we hope that maybe it turned the light on for some people to understand that you are willing and you are able to meet all our needs all the time. And that all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is speak with our mouth. Say it with our mouth. Believe in our heart and have what we say. Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here in this room and each and every person that's watching us online. And we thank you, Father, that you're continuing to minister to them on a daily basis. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're here tonight and you're going through whatever it might be, and you want prayer, whether it be salvation, whether it be infilling of the Holy Spirit, whether it be prayer for healing, or for whatever, if you're going through some stuff and you want someone to pray with you, we have some of our prayer partners here ready, willing, and able to pray for you. If you happen to be a gentleman, you go to this side. If you happen to be a lady, you go to that side. If you don't know who you are or what you are or what you identify as, talk to one of our ushers. They'll help you get to the right side. You don't have to say that anymore, but now we do. It's kind of amazing. Let's all stand up. Amen. God is a good God. Amen. Now, obviously, if this is the last message you hear on faith, you know, for the rest of the year, you know, there's an issue, all right? You need to be reading on faith. We should have faith operating in our life every day. And I tell you what, man, I will say this term because I get the opportunity to teach faith to the students. It's awesome. I mean, every time that I have that class, I mean, I say things that I've never said before. You say, well, you got something you know, he's been preaching for 30 years and something. You know, yeah, I get new revelation all the time. It's awesome. Amen? Amen. Well, if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you. The connection team is there in the aisle, and they'll greet you and give you something, whatever. God bless you guys. We'll see you back here Sunday morning. And you might want to come early because there might be a lot of people here. All right, Sunday morning. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you on Sunday.